as I ought to speak. Very familiar passage of Scripture tonight, and quite honestly, I'm focusing on verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. But I want you to understand something tonight. We're in a battle. Yes, sir. I heard one preacher ask one time, do you have your fun time clothes on or your fight time clothes on? Because we're in a battle. I want to preach for a few minutes on this tonight. The problem with revival. The problem with revival. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the message you've given me tonight. I pray that you will enable me to, through the power of your Spirit, preach as you'd have it to be preached tonight. That your name would be lifted up and honored and glorified, that your Son's name would be lifted up, honored and glorified. Thank you for a great song service. I pray now that you'd bless the reading and preaching of the word and meet with us tonight, that we would know your power and presence in our midst. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. How many have ever watched a sport team or followed a sports team and that team is on a hot winning streak and they're coming down to maybe the finals or what is, you know, just the last few games of the season, and you watch the news channels and the sports channels and the sports media and the newspapers, and they're coming down, and just as they're coming right down to the final few games, there's a easy game in there. Know what I mean? The game that's a walk-off, the game that you can show up to and you don't really have to play hard, you just got to show up, and it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's like a high school team playing against the WSU Shockers, and the WSU Shockers are on a roll and they're winning, they're on a hot streak, and they're going to play this high school team just for fun, and it happens. They get whooped. Against all predictions and against all odds, the team that was predicted to have a landslide victory loses. When this happens, the sports gurus will begin quickly to point out their flaws of sloppiness and the things that they must have done the night before their game to not show up that day in good form, and the uncharacteristic mistakes for that team that they made in their overconfidence that literally cost them the game. What happens more often than not is the winning team, the one that was on the winning streak, shows up in a great deal of confidence thinking, we got this one, let's start with our second string players and give the guys a rest that have to fight tomorrow. While the opposing team has done their homework and they've watched video after video after video of the team that they're about to face, and they have learned all of their strengths and weaknesses. When it comes game time, they capitalize on their weaknesses and defend against their strengths. And suddenly a winning team is brought to its unexpected and embarrassing end. North Woodlawn Baptist Church is in revival right now. I'm not afraid to say that. I'm excited about it. I'm thrilled. I was having Facebook arguments with our grammar Nazi this afternoon. That's Mrs. Lambden, for those of you that don't know. I said some of the people have picked up my saying, it just gets gooder and gooder, and everybody's jumping on the bandwagon and using that, except for Mrs. Lambden, and she's not real excited about that gooder and gooder stuff. And so we've been kind of sparring back and forth a little bit this afternoon. We're in revival. It's exciting to see revival taking place, especially when we don't have a revival preacher here to try to stir up a revival. In other words, God stirred up a revival. Now, let me help you. Those five people that have gotten saved in the last 3 weeks didn't get revival. They got saved. But our church has got revival. And it ought to excite you, and it ought to thrill you to see these things going on and to know that we are experiencing, I don't know what to call it, except revival. We're experiencing a special moving of the Holy Spirit in our midst and a special favor of the hand of God that has come upon our church. And I don't want it to stop. I can tell you when this revival started. Because 3 weeks ago, the first person got saved. Somewhere right around in there, I think it was 4 weeks ago, Brother Steve Osteen was here. And 5 weeks ago, I experienced one of the worst attacks of just mental weariness that I've seen in a long, long time. I'm not afraid to admit that your pastor's human. But I recognized something because I'd seen what's been taking place in the first 3 months of the year. And thought something is about to happen. And when I experienced that day, and that was a Saturday right before Sunday, and I'll be honest, I've not got anything to hide. Come the closest to quitting preaching that I ever have. For absolutely no reason. And I recognize there's an attack here. I sent out some of my preacher friends. I said, I need prayer now, and I need a lot of it. And they began to pray. I learned something several years ago, never doubt in the darkness what God hath revealed in the light. And so I kind of make a commitment to you. I will make a commitment to you. I won't ever quit when I'm down like that, because that's a dark time. But I won't say I didn't want to. And then after we started the missions revival with Brother Osteen, I thought, well, why in the world would I want to quit? And then this stuff started happening. We start seeing people saved, and I'm excited. Amen. And I ain't quitting. But did you know the devil doesn't have to watch videos? He already knows our strengths and weaknesses as individuals, and he knows our strengths and weaknesses as a church. Right now, he's mad. You say, I don't think the devil has all that kind of power and has that kind of understanding. Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. And that is his devices, is knowing your weaknesses and knowing your strengths. And he defends against your strengths and he attacks on your weaknesses. And he will do his best to bring you down. And oh, listen, the devil would love nothing better than to get a hold of someone in this church at this time, right in the middle of revival, and to drag them down, which would just put everything to a stop all of a sudden. The danger of revival is this. We get to riding on this high wave. We're all excited. We let our guard down. And we forget what it is that brought us to this place. I want to remind you what it is that has brought us to this place. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. First of all, we need to recognize the enemy is active. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's speaking to preachers there, by the way, that the preacher is supposed to be sober and vigilant, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in his brethren in the world are also accomplished in those that are inside the church. In other words, the same things that the devil is tearing lives apart with out there in the world, he will come inside the church and begin to tear lives apart inside the church if he can. And the preacher is supposed to be sober and vigilant and to notice those things and to preach against and guard against and to warn against those things. The devil is real and he is our enemy. But we also must recognize the source of our strength. The source of our strength is not our good looks or our good works or our good anything. The source of our strength is the Lord. We are to put on the armor of God. I'm not going to go down through all of the armor of God. You've heard numerous messages on the armor of God. But we're to put it on. Can you imagine a soldier going to battle without his armor? And thinking somehow he would survive? Obviously, if a soldier would go to battle without his armor, without his protection, he would be mistakenly somehow thinking that this is a game, not a war. We must realize we're in a war. And we must put on the armor of God. And then if I can put it this way, don't forget to plug into the power after you put the armor on. As I saw this a few years ago as I was studying through this passage, and I'm still as firmly convinced today as I was then that this is the case. It tells you from verse number 13 down through verse number 17 all about the armor of God. And then it says, praying always. That's where the power comes from. I believe with all my heart, and I believe the scriptures teach it, that the strength of a child of God depends on fervent and consistent prayer and fellowship with God. Say, Pastor, I don't know what you're trying to do, but I think you're trying to make some kind of a dramatic show tonight. No, not at all. In fact, let me give you a biblical pattern that shows what I'm teaching you tonight. There's a book in the Bible called The Acts of the Apostles. Let me just give you a quick rundown of an outline of the book of the Acts. Acts chapter 1 and 2. What did they do? They prayed. Acts chapter 2 and 3, the power came on the church and great revival broke out. Great revival. They went from 120 to 3,120 in one day. A few weeks later, there was 5,000 added to the church. They estimate that somewhere between 25,000 and 50,000 members were attending the church at Jerusalem in those early chapters of the book of Acts. to go from 120 to, let's be conservative, 25,000. That's pretty good revival. You know what happened in Acts chapter 4? Persecution. You know what else happened in Acts chapter 4? They prayed. And they received. Now, if you didn't think that 3,000 and 5,000 added to the church in a very short time was great power, the Bible says in Acts chapter number 4 that after they had prayed, great power came upon them. That's after 8,000 added to the church. Great power came upon them, that they were able to spread the gospel with more power even than they had before. Guess what happened in Acts 5? Acts chapter 5, we read about Ananias and Sapphira. In Acts chapter 6, we read about the murmuring that was among the Grecians. And I call that the inner church opposition. You know, the opposition that raises up from within the church. Somebody's not getting the attention that they want, or maybe something way more innocent than that even, that somebody is not being affected or isn't allowing themselves to be affected by the revival. And they literally bring persecution against the church without even realizing it. You know what happened in Acts chapter 6 and 7? They prayed. They prayed and they selected men to help out with the problems that were in the church. And those men were empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gospel began to spread even further. I bet you know what happened in 7 and 8? More persecution. Stephen was martyred. Acts chapter 8 starts off, talks about how the persecution rose greater and greater against the church at Jerusalem, and Saul brought persecution against the church at Jerusalem. Are you detecting a pattern here? I challenge you to read the book of Acts. You're going to see the pattern all the way through. All the way through. In fact, I find this in the book of Acts. Prayer is a major theme in the book of Acts. In fact, verses like, "Brethren, pray for us. Pray without ceasing." Ephesians chapter 6 that we just read. Those were written during the time era that is recorded in the book of Acts. They recognized the importance and the need and the power of prayer. The recipe for continued revival fourfold. Number one, prayer. I am 1,000% convinced that the reason we're seeing what we're seeing is because of this up here. Prayer. I have had people coming to me and telling me about their prayer time and how God is speaking to them in their prayer time. And the reason we are where we are is because of prayer. We also must recognize the inner church opposition should it arise. Can I rephrase that? When it arises. You know how I know it'll arise? Because the devil knows our weak spots. And I'm not looking at anybody and saying, oh, I think you're the one. No, I'm just warning against it. One, that we need to be in enough fellowship and prayer time with the Lord that we would recognize possibly in our own lives if perhaps the devil would begin to try to use us to stop a revival. Two, that we would recognize that when people say things like, have you heard about what so-and-so said? You know what the thing to do is when you hear something like that? Just put up your hand and say, have you talked to them? Because I don't want to talk to you about that. Because gossip can destroy a revival. Backbiting can destroy a revival. Thirdly, anticipate the persecution from outside the church. Hey, Pastor, you think we're headed into persecuting times? Well, I don't think we're very far off, but I think the persecution from outside of the church in our context, in our setting, would be something more like the devil making a whole bunch of people sick all at the same time. Oh, wait, that's already happened, hadn't it? Or the devil making some people disgruntled. Losing some families. Or some heartbreak or sorrow that comes into some people's life and just kind of sidesteps them for a little bit. Fourthly, continue in prayer. I've encouraged it recently, but I think more than ever it's time that ladies start getting together to pray. That men start sharing prayer requests with one another and praying, really praying for one another. I think it might be time to have another all-night prayer meeting. Haven't had one of those for several years. Most important, I think it's important that we all realize the truth of the scripture, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we need to each commit time in prayer. The problem with revival is easily solved when God's people continue in effectual, fervent prayer. And though we have an enemy that is attacking and will attack, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that is a precious, precious truth from Scripture. We're going to go invitation here in just a minute. There's more people need to get saved. Pastor, you're being judgmental. No. There's more people that need to get right. There's some people that are kind of holding back and saying, I don't know what all this revival stuff is, but I sure hope I don't get affected. I challenge you to jump in the middle of the stream with both feet. And let God carry you where he'll carry you. If you need to get saved tonight, do not sit there and think, they're just going to think I'm copying these other people that got saved. You let the Holy Spirit work in your heart, and if you need to get saved tonight, you get saved. If you need to get your heart right tonight, we'll hold as long of an invitation as we have to give you time to deal with God. I think it'd be a good idea if some people just came forward to pray tonight. I'm not trying to fill the altar so that it looks like I did something great, because I'm just trying to preach the word. But I think it'd be a good idea if we flooded the altars tonight, praying for souls and praying for continued revival and asking God to keep this thing going. And if you're going to ask God to keep it going, you're going to have to commit to do your part that he tells you to do, because that's how he keeps it going. Let's stand for invitation. Father, thank you for the message tonight and the warning from Scripture. We know we have an enemy, but we are comforted in that we have you, who is much greater than our enemy. I pray that this revival will continue, that we'll see more souls saved, more people added to the church, more lives gotten right, sin conquered and banished from a life. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the blessings already. Pray that you continue to bless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What's our invitation song tonight? 118. I need thee every hour. Am I recognizing that? I need thee every hour. Page 118. The altars are open. The invitation is open. You do as God would have you to do tonight. Somebody to pray with you. Just give me some kind of signal. Let me know that you need somebody to pray with you, counsel with you. If you just want to pray by yourself, that's fine. If you're here tonight and you need to get saved, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't postpone it. go ahead and be seated a moment. Brittany, if you would go ahead and step on up here with your mom. I remember in 2008 when Brother Tim got saved. I don't know what's going to happen next, but that kind of started a chain reaction. I believe your wife got saved at that same time. I know that I had just counseled with Barbara Davis a couple weeks earlier, and she wasn't sure about it. And when she found out Brother Tim got saved, she called him and said, I want to talk about this. And she got saved. Tammy Crater got saved during that time. We had 8 adults saved in a matter of about 6 weeks. So when Brother Paul got saved, Brother Paul Immel got saved, I thought, well, we'll see where this will go from here.
Amen.
And Mrs. Immel called us up, texted us actually, and texted Brother Gene, and he texted me and my wife, or me, and I texted my wife, and she met with us yesterday, and we had some time talking about this, and then she got saved this morning. And she mentioned during that time that Brittany had kind of struggled with her salvation, especially since her dad got saved, but she thought she got peace about it. And I looked over at Brittany this morning when Mom announced her salvation. Brittany wasn't happy. That's all I can. It was not the look of a joyful person. And after church, she went and counseled with Mrs. Dodd. And she got saved.
Amen.
So, Brittany, do you know now? If you died, you'd go to heaven. Amen. Both of them are being brave souls because the baptistry was already full but not heated. So I turned it on this morning after church, but it takes 12 hours to heat to its full heat. And so we're going to go wait into the baptistry. I'm lucky I get waiters. I felt the water a little bit ago before church, and I said, well, it's warm at the top. It's room temperature at the top. I won't tell you what that means 2 feet down, because I've been in there when it's room temperature at the top. But they're willing. And so Brittany is presenting herself. Jessica already did present herself this morning for baptism. I'm going to get baptized tonight. Brittany is presenting herself for baptism, and she plans to get baptized tonight, if you'll allow it. So all those happy for her coming, present herself for her salvation, first of all, and then present herself for baptism, willing to accept her into the membership of the church by baptism, let it be known by a good, hearty, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist. Amen?
Amen.
You can do better than that. Let's give it a good amen.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you are awake. All right, why don't you two go ahead and head that way, and you can get ready. And Desiree, step on up here. Desiree comes forward tonight to rededicate her life.
Amen.
Her words, she's taken too much control of her life out of God's hands and tried to do it her way. She's given it back.
Amen.
Wants God to take over. I'll just say this, we need more of these. Not just cards filled out, but we need more people willing. Some need to get saved, I'm convinced of that, and some need to get their lives right. She's coming forward tonight to make public dedication of her life. If you're thankful for that, I think we can get one more good amen out. All people should say,
amen.
Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to go get ready to drown a couple people. I mean dunk them, I'm going to baptize them.
Brother Paul said he doesn't care about the water temperature this week. He's glad it was warm last week. Come on up. Let's have a couple songs, and then we'll have baptism.
Amen.
Who's got a favorite? Brother Matt.
355.
So I'll turn to page 355. Wonderful grace of Jesus. Praise the Lord.